Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the pecs, I'm serving him. Mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Welcome back to What Will Fergie Do podcast. I am Olu Jimmy, joined today by Mr. Francis. Welcome back.
Lollipop, 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 pop, pop.
Larry seems to be the most excited to have me back, but I'm here now. I'm here. I missed the Quacko as well.
And the man who loves to introduce himself.
El Chapoe, El Maestroe, Dr. Rahman, John Wick, father to many, your favorite guarantor, your guarantor's guarantor. Wow. Wow. What a day. A day of days, man. A day of days. Happy to be back.
Your guarantor's guarantor. You're the guy the banks come to loan money from, eh?
Hey, don't allow it though.
Anyways, welcome back to the pod. How's everyone's week been? This Friday, summer.
Pretty chill, you know. Been tending to my boy Lollipop. He's been down. I've been just helping him get through a very difficult period. I've told you guys many times, I'm my brother's keeper, you know, So, you know, helping my brother through a difficult time. But for me, on my end, I'm great. I'll say it one more time. I'm great. I'm fucking fantastic, man. Oh, Lord.
Like, do you mix your coffee with Red Bull?
I don't drink coffee. Talk about this.
You don't drink coffee.
I don't know anymore. I love coffee, by the way. But, you know, if you want me a ginger, you know, I can't really drink coffee no more, you know. Got to leave that shit alone. And I feel great, you know. Lollipop, I thought you were not speaking. I hope you're. Do you feel ready? Are you okay? Are you good? Yeah, that's what I was talking about. He still needs some working. You know, I'll do some work behind the scenes with him, guys. Don't worry, he'll be ready.
Who the fuck is he talking about? Is there a fourth person on this episode? Who are you talking to? Who? What are you talking about?
Bro, I'm talking to you, innit?
El Quacko. Quack, 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 quack.
United. Anyways, end of the week. Hopefully, the weekend brings a little bit more happiness because supporting United this year has just been a little bit like, you know, mentally draining. But we had a game midweek away to Bayern. Champions League is back, baby. Finally scored three goals, as El Chapo has been talking about, and we still lost. even when we scored three goals, it's not even good enough. But I don't think...
Leader of the new gen.
Yo. Don't make me laugh. Anyways,
I don't know what that means.
we lost the game. Onana.
I think whatever question you're about to ask, I think it's safe to say that we should go to Francois, because Lollipop lied to us at the beginning of the pod when users couldn't hear anything. This nigga was supposed to be unavailable, but yeah, he's been anything.
Why are you always in a hurry? I returned the call, the person didn't pick up. I'm waiting for them to call back. Chill.
Nigga, you didn't say nothing, though. You were quiet.
Chill,
and
man,
then
Jimmy.
You were not.
Damn.
Sorry, Jimmy, you were about to say.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like...
You didn't even let him talk.
Like, there's no I in team, guys. But, yeah, I feel like some of the goals we've considered are just similar to the goals we considered against Brighton are similar to some of the goals we considered against Tottenham. It's like these teams don't even have to get into the second and third gear to like actually score us. It's not like this beautiful style of play that, you know, oh, we're like, oh yeah, there's like, you know, 22 passes or 14 passes. It's just that we just make it easy. We just open our legs in the middle and the goals just come easy. The first one was a mistake by Onana, that gear style, but Larry said in the group chat, like he still saved us. He had a couple of shots that he still saved, but I think we're going to see more of this kind of goals from Onana, by the way, because I'm not confident in him as a goalie, if that makes sense, as a shot stopper. I'm confident in him, you know, distributing the ball and passing the ball, which is exactly what we want from him. But I think until we shore up our midfield and defense, I think we're going to concede more of those kind of goals. But anyways, Maestro, I'll come to you first.
Nah. Tell man, on your
Jimmy,
mic.
Jimmy, I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right. Francis, what are your thoughts on the game?
On Onana?
No. Just in game in general. I think we'll come to Onana like on a separate topic. But in the game in general, like, did you think we're going to score three goals? I guess we can start from
there. I predicted them. What was my prediction in the group chat? I missed the games. I predicted 2-1. 4-1.
To Bayern.
And,
yeah, I think, you know,
2-1 to Bayern.
Is it 2-1 or 4-1? I know somebody said 4, though. I can't remember.
It was 4. I predicted 4-1. I think Jim, Larry mentioned here, predicted for me while I was away in the last episode or something, and he said 2-1.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so, I lost my train of thought. The Bayern game, 4-1. 4-1 was my prediction. I was surprised to see us score three goals, actually. And I think that game could have easily ended like 8-1 or 8-2.
Yeah.
So it was a bloodbath, you know.
They hit the bar a couple of times. A couple of times in the first half, they hit the bar where you're like, eesh.
Yeah, but to be fair, though, we started the game off well, as usual. And then it gets to a state where, you know, it's like when you stop paying your light bill and they cut off your lights, everything just stops working. Unfortunately, it started off with Onana. But if I can, speaking of Onana, like,
Let's not talk about. I actually want to discuss Onana with you, like, separately. Like, let's talk about the game.
Don't let him off his mic, man. Let him speak, please.
Okay. Say what you want to say.
So, yeah, speaking about Bayern,
this nigga has mastered the art of saying absolutely nothing and speaking words. You were on Onana now. Let's hear how you feel. Commit to something, please. Hey.
Man. In some phases, I'm like, fuck, man. Do they bring Tekia back?
Oh my god, I'm crying from laughing.
Onana, man. Like,
you know what? I think the funniest part is the way he acts after he lets it go.
Yo, first of all, this guy has a high top. And it's not like subtle.
It's not high top. That shit is glued to my nigga's head, man. That's a chia pet on his head.
Yo, like, who the fuck signed up on that transfer? Because I can't believe this Onana youth, man. Like, how can a goalkeeper have so much charisma? Like, that position is usually for losers. They shouldn't even be allowed to open their mouth. But this nigga is always the first to run and collect the mic to speak. Like, it's WWE. This shit reminds me of The Rock backstage in the early 2000s.
Oh god, okay.
You pick up the mic and just shout, if you spare. Man, this nigga is all lights, camera, action, man. There's nothing about this guy. There's nothing. There's nothing about Onana. He can pass. He can. Like, fuck, man. Bro, just play as a DM. Because I don't did we sign a DM? This guy picked the ball out of the post 8 times. This is it. 8. Like, yeah, come on, how can I be 8? We considered four. We considered three.
More than ten goals.
Meanwhile, some niggas that will not call are condescending. He's the best keeper in the world. Bro, yes. The goal he considered against Brighton, where they shot him from outside. Yo, this guy is the most immobile. He cannot move.
You see, this is something that Francis always does. If you are not on to this fraudster, this charlatan, he will never commit to anything. And then when he commits, Francis was one of the people pushing for Onana, eh? Yeah. Now all of a sudden,
I was pushing for the guy from Porto.
I beg you, who signed the guy from Porto? He's still in Porto. Do you know where he is?
Do you know where he is?
Yeah, like my point is like you always hedge. The guy from Porto, if that guy came tomorrow, you will start eyeing somebody else and saying that's the one that we should have signed. Man, of the 14 or 16 goals that Onana has conceded,
we signed Onana.
How many of them can you actually say are his fault?
Guys, when you're talking about Onana, you will give your own reasons. Let me talk.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought there was a pause in there that you were.
Let me speak. I'm talking about the game and what I have seen with my own eyes, though. Not with El Maestro's eyes, with my own eyes. El Maestro. Onana, he looks chubby. He looks chubby. This guy can't even dive for any single thing. Ah, Omo Wala De. Wala De.
Oh, God.
Gosh.
I've laughed today.
Anyways, in all seriousness, though, I think ETH has to take some of the blame. Like, ETH keeps playing Eriksen and Casemiro together. And fucking guys will turn around and blame Joe Glazer, who's chilling all the way in Albuquerque or some shit, doing his own thing. They'll be blaming him when you're playing guys that their combined age is past 60. You know, it makes no sense. But then who do we have to bring?
Is that really like old, though? Like, why do people keep going back to that? Like, combined age is 60. Like, 30 is now 40 or something like that.
Wait, please, like, tell me a team that their midfield is that the age is that high.
Madrid.
Which are they playing now?
Okay, but last season, they don't usually Kroos, play. Kroos yeah. and Modric played. Like, what are we talking about? Like, why?
No. Who is their DM in Madrid?
Was it not Casemiro before we got Casemiro?
Yeah, but when did we go Casemiro? That was how many years ago?
That was 2 years. That was last season, my guy.
Uh-huh. So it was Casemiro was what at that point, 28.
So that's the difference. He was 29. Then all of a sudden he turned 30, and now let me
ask you a question. Are you fine with Casemiro and Eriksen's performances?
No, but that's not because of their age.
So what is it about?
No, like, you were the one that mentioned age, right? You can talk about their performance. Like you said, you're talking about your own outlook on the game. You said ETH should not play. Because if you want to talk about age, I've seen Scott, who is 24 or 26 or whatever his age is. I've seen Scott, even in the Bayern game that you're talking about, when Scott comes in, they run past him at least two or three times. Mm-hmm. Where you see him jogging back.
Let's take a step back. You're taking the age thing too literally. I'm talking about we need strength.
I'm just responding to what you said now.
Okay. We need strength and bodies in midfield.
Okay, so who would you play in the midfield then?
right now, like if everybody's available.
No, bro, don't talk to me about available. You said
that's what I said. Now I said no. I said their combined age is 61.
You said ETH has to take some responsibility for playing Casemiro and Eriksen because their combined age is over 60. Right.
Then what did I say?
So we're talking about this reality.
No. What did I say after that?
Something about Joe Glazer and Albert.
No, I said, but that's the option he has.
Then how can he take responsibility for the options that he has?
Oh,
you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth now. You can't say he has to take the blame and then on the other hand say that those are the options that he has. It's one or the other.
No. What are you talking about?
Ah, bro.
Because even my point here, and please give me some time to explain. Even when these guys were still available, he was still playing them. Even when our guys were not injured, he was still playing them. Apart from
you see this quacko that is talking here. Last season, when Eriksen wasn't around, he kept crying about the fact that Eriksen wasn't around. This is why we're not playing well. Now Eriksen is around. Even when
I'll let you talk.
Oh no, okay. You know what? Finish actually. Let me let you finish.
No. I'm done. You can speak.
No, finish now. You're giving your thoughts on the game. Let me let you finish. I'll off my mic.
Larry is a kid. Francis, I beg, just finish what you had to your thoughts, I beg. Francois.
Yeah. So as I was talking about Eriksen and Casemiro. Just the dynamic around both of them in that midfield is terrible. You know, as a whole, the team is not playing well, but you can see cracks in what some people are doing or the input that they're bringing to the team. Casemiro, what we knew him for before was he's number one positionally. He's, you know, most likely going to be in the right place than not. He had the legs and you couldn't easily breeze past him, but right now he's nowhere to be found. He's done. You know, The comment Maestro made there about Eriksen, everyone was chopping for him last season. Of course, everyone was, because we noticed what we missed when he was out of the team. But then you change your perspective based on new information. When he came back to the team, he was playing rubbish. After 50, 60 minutes, he's done. Everyone said it. It was the comment around everyone's, it was a general comment from everybody. So it's nothing new that you are chirping for someone when the person is gone. And when the person comes back, you're picking on him. Like, if he played well, you will still pick on him. No way. It's not, that's not how I am. That's not what I do. Eriksen is done. Legs, he doesn't have. Physicality, he doesn't have. This thing that they talk about, the input he brings up front, it's overblown. It doesn't do anything. The team is done. I just think he should move on or go to a league that is less competitive where he doesn't have to stress himself. You know, so I just feel overall, collectively, the team is below par. Even Martinez, since after his injury, I don't think he has come back the same. I think he has dropped a couple levels in his reaction time, his vision of the game. His passing is still there, but defensively, and he's become a little bit too hot-headed. Like, you get a yellow card in almost every game. You know, it's like, what's going on? Collectively, as a team, we're just not doing it. ETA doesn't have much options. You can't really see what this team is supposed to be or where we're supposed to be going, because it's each day somebody's getting injured. Now Wan-Bissaka is injured. The other day was Maguire that was injured. You know, then Mount, Varane, like, we're all over the place. You know what I mean? So right now it's just mix and match till we can build some confidence, get a run of wins, if that ever happens. And then hopefully, core guys come back and then we can probably progress from there. But if not, if we keep losing, I think it's only going to get worse. My biggest fear is if he loses the dressing room and these players start to turn on him, then I think it just becomes more difficult for him to do anything after that. You've seen this with the with other coaches. It's easy for these players to do this, and if that happens, I just think it's done for him. And by November, December, I'll just be talking about a change or, you know, breath of fresh air. So yeah, hopefully we can kickstart our season with a win at Burnley. But no, we'll talk about that on when we get there.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start with this team, but Maestro, what are thoughts on the kind of goals that we're conceding? Like, again, I might be wrong, but to me, it just seems like they're all in the same kind of vein, right? Like, it's like these teams don't even have to like do anything like really intricate. It's just like the goals just come, you know, the goals come easy for the opposition, I guess is my point.
And I think that's where, like, I don't like that the conversation has now turned to Onana, because he conceded the first goal, and the impact of that, of conceding that first goal, is not just limited to conceding the goal, like not just the mistake. The mistake is obviously a huge part of it, but it's the fact that with this team, when they become unsettled, they unravel, right? And we've seen that over and again, but that part is not his own fault either, right? Like, yes, the mistake was bad. You should never, ever concede that goal. I don't know if it's concentration. I don't know what it is, right? But when you concede that goal and then maybe like 2 or 3 minutes later you concede again, it just feels like this is once we're shaken, you know, we always say, oh, we start off pretty decently, you know, and then we drop off after a while. And it's like, no, you can't be in the game for 20 minutes. You actually need your concentration levels to be up there for the entire time of the game. At the end of the game, when they asked CTH what the issues were, the guy was talking about determination. And for me, at this point, even if you don't believe in ETH, like, I've already started seeing people talking about, oh, how long before we do ETH out, Deserbi in. Deserbi will come and start looking like Ole again for me. It's like these players, at this point, I'm ready for a coach that is going to wipe out these guys. Because it can't be that every coach is complaining about the exact same thing. Like, the difference between us and Brighton, in a lot of ways, isn't just about the organization. It's about the effort. It's that when they don't have the ball, they are all running. They are all in positions. That's why it's harder for us to score against some of these teams. Like, we cannot, at this point, it's like teams know the kind of goals that we concede. And it's like, when you get to the byline, don't even put the ball where the striker will be. Just cut it back into, you know, where like a number 10 is going to run into. And yeah, there will always be someone there. Like you said about the goal, like if you even look at like Sané's goal, obviously he runs in, but I think it was Harry Kane who gave him the pass.
Why is he
running free into the box to take a shot? The reason why we're talking about that shot is because it wasn't a well-taken shot. So you should be saving that. But the fact is, he's still running into the box there. You look at what Martiala was able to cross back for Serge Gnabry. I want to say, okay, Dalot, you have to be able to hold Martiala there. But Martiala is also a good player.
Yeah, Martiala ran through that midfield, man.
Why is Gnabry just like alone? Why is he free in the box in that position? And for me, it's just again like there's like a
You can also say the same thing about the fourth goal, because if you watch the fourth goal, the player the player who scored was in line with Casemiro, and then before you know it, the guy just ran into the box, and Casemiro doesn't know where he is.
And so for me, just like we can talk about changing tactics, like, you know, last pod we're talking about, oh, why did ETH change something? I'm like, if you change something and the players are not going to execute, does it matter? And again, we saw that with Bayern. It's like, you start off decently. It's not that Bayern changes their formation or changes their tactic. It's just that, like, once you concede that first goal, I mean, before the first goal went in, these things that we're talking about were not happening. We looked compact. We looked like we were organized. And once that goal goes in, we're just all over the place. We're just disorganized. And it's hard for me to believe that after that goal goes in, which is like 20-something minutes, all of a sudden your legs are now gone. Like you can't run again after 20 minutes. No, you're just not engaged mentally the same way. And it's like we've seen this across multiple managers. And at some point, it's like the culture with these players is the problem, or at least maybe not the only problem, but a huge part of the problem. You know, like you look at other teams, the Bayern Munich team that we saw that I thought they themselves have their own, you know, issues here and there. Or you look at Madrid, or you look at, what's it called, Man City. Like these are teams that work very hard, especially when they're out of possession. They are running constantly. Like you don't lose the ball and then just start like strolling. And I feel like there's a culture within our team where there's just not enough. Like you're going to Bayern Munich in an away game after you've lost like two or three games in a row, and you're just like, okay, I'm just chilling here. Like, where's the sense of urgency to be like, every tackle, every time the ball comes around me, every time I'm in a position, like I need to give everything. And I don't think it's there. Like, I don't think it really exists. And when we start looking at some of these players, we start handpicking players and saying that, oh, okay, this guy. But I feel like structurally, it's the mentality of the team is for me the problem. Don't get me wrong. Casemiro was terrible in the game. In terms of his performance itself, was terrible. He scored 2 goals. But still, like, it's just across the board. Like, we talked about this. Reguilón looks like our best player. Fucking Reguilón hasn't played football in 2 years. But he just, even Dalot, like they look like they want it. Like they are hungry, they are aggressive, they are determined. They are chasing every fucking thing. That's the same with, what's his name? Our striker, Hoyland. Same thing. And it's like the culture of this team hasn't affected them enough for them to start misbehaving. Like, again, I look at Scott, and he's not the reason why we lost, but it's just like, bro, where's your fucking energy? You came into the game as a sub, and people are outrunning you, running past you after you lost the ball. Like, for what? Like, we were just playing, you know, like, there was no midfield at some point. It's just, we attack, you attack. We attack, you attack. And it's like, you're not coordinated enough to be trying that away to Bayern Munich that hasn't lost at home in, I don't know how many games, 30 games or something in the group stages. Something ridiculous. So for me, it's just like, do you not know, like, where you are? Do you not understand what you are, like, the occasion? Do you not understand? Do you not have the self-awareness, the presence of mind? And I want to be able to say that the coaches should prepare these players, but it's like we've seen this from... Let's not even go as far back as LVG. Let's just start with Mourinho. Mourinho complained about this. Ole complained about this. Ralph complained about this. And now we're seeing it with ETH as well. Like, you should never score 3 goals in Bayern Munich and still be losing. Never.
But we keep talking about we've seen this in this person. So how many of those players are still playing for United now?
And that was going to be my rebuttal. Like, we brought in a couple of new players.
It's only Luke Shaw, Maguire, Lindelof, and Rashford, right? And maybe Martial. Who else is in the team? Oscar McTominay. So it's like 6.
Are you saying, team or in the squad? Like, in the game that we saw, or in the squad? As
even in the game. Let's start with the game.
The players we have are still from that time. Like,
yes,
okay,
that's what
Eric
I'm saying.
Casemiro,
it's
Martinez.
6 players from that time that I've counted.
In right? The squad or in the team? Like, in that particular team?
In the squad.
As a whole?
No, I'm not talking about the guys that don't, like, the younger guys, like them, Garnacho, all those guys. I'm not calling those guys. I'm talking about the main starting 11 to 15 or whatever, 17 players. Out of all those players,
yeah, there's still a bunch of them. Now, Bruno is still there. Sancho is still there.
Bruno was not in Mourinho's time. Bruno was not Mourinho. Bruno's not Mourinho.
Bro, I said the last three managers. Like, even if you don't want to call Mourinho, like, again, the culture is still set now. Like, people are coming in. Okay, like, what's going on with Sancho right now? Like, he's playing FIFA before a fucking game. Is that the coach's fault?
Yeah, but he's not playing, though.
Streaming on FIFA. Eh?
But he's not playing. He's not in the squad. What do you want him? Like, that one, I'm able, like, he's...
Jimmy, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You are playing for Manchester United. You are not in the squad because you are facing disciplinary issues. And you are live streaming your game. You can't play that game without live streaming. On the day that we're about to play, that's like when Raiola used to release those messages about Pogba might leave on the days that we would win in Champions League. But this is even worse to me because either, again, you lack the self-awareness to understand that this is going to become a story, or you don't care.
But like, I think, I agree with
why
you.
Why are we still getting leaks?
I agree with you, for example,
there are stories every day. Today, there's a story that, some players are not happy that ETH has taken Sancho out of the squad. Like, Koko said it on my own end. I don't think he will, but I definitely don't want to ever see him in the United jersey. I don't want reconciliation for Sancho. Because you know what you are doing when you go and start live streaming on FIFA before your team is about to play. It's not Monday. It's not Sunday. Like, there are so many other days of the week you could just be chilling. You don't have any self-awareness. Right? Like, so for me, it's like, the stories will keep coming out. Today, there's a story about Onana dropped his keys before he got out of the car. This is headline news on the website.
Like, yeah, but I think that also comes with being a United player, like you always say.
But that's
like,
what I'm saying. So do you understand the occasion? Do you understand the pressure? Do you understand what you are up against when you are a United player? Right? And for me, I don't think these guys actually understand. Listen, if almost any other team goes to Bayern Munich, right? If Galatasaray goes to Bayern Munich, they can lose 4-1. They can lose 5-1. They can, but it will not be because they played the way that we played.
I get what you're saying and all, but I don't understand where this is going. Are you saying
my point is that that doesn't require coaching. That is common sense.
Okay.
Right? Like,
so
went to Bayern Munich tomorrow, like if all of us, like if all of us are unprofessionals, went to Bayern Munich tomorrow to go and play. We are not playing like that, right? The awareness that, let's be compact. We just conceded one goal. Because 20 minutes into the game, we're playing like a team that understands the occasion. Then we concede, and then we just start playing. If that happened in the second half, 78th minute, I can say, okay, we don't have the legs, we're tired. But you concede in the 20-something minutes, and then you concede like 2 or 3 minutes later. And then from that point on, you look like every time there's an attack, you're going to concede. To me,
bro, I get you. I guess my question here is: this is my statement. Is this is not a new trend? We've had players.
I think that's what Larry is saying too. But I guess
I'm asking a question. How do we fix this?
Yeah, and that's where I go back to, because you had said that like you are worried that he's going to lose the dressing room.
Exactly.
For me, at this point, lose the dressing room, Seth. Like,
if he loses the dressing room, he's leaving the club.
There's only one. You know, if you lose the dressing room, ETH is the one that's going to take the fall for you. You know that.
Yeah.
Right? But that's what I'm saying. I'm no longer interested in losing the manager. I would rather lose all these players. I'm not joking.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But the reality is that they're not going to sell to 11 players. They're going to get rid of one person over 11 players.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Because if you look at Arsenal, for example, right? When Arteta took over, there was a period where they had speculation. This Edu came out and went to the dressing room and told them, listen, this guy is going to be here. Some of you are not. That's when Lacazette went, Ozil went, what's this guy's name? Aubameyang. When they started clearing out a bunch of those players. Right,
I get it.
We should lose the dressing room.
No. But I'm saying I'm saying
let the players understand that they are the ones at risk. Like, look at what's happening with Sancho right now. When initially first started happening, they said John Mertha was trying to act as a go-between between Sancho and ETH. When you ask a lot of people now, do you think Sancho will still play for United? I feel like a lot of people are of the opinion that he still will. For me, he should never. He should never ever play for us again. Not because the sin itself of the statement cannot be redeemed. It's just when you start defying your manager like that, why are you coming back into the team? Do you not understand? Like, okay, you didn't apologize. Now you're going to train on your own. What are we waiting for? For the light bulb to shine in your head so that you could come back? Because the manager told you that you are not keeping the standards that are required. And then we look at the team and we are saying that they are not meeting the standards that we need. And then this idiot is still there's still a possibility. And everybody keeps talking about his immense talent. Who has seen this talent? I haven't seen this talent anywhere. And for a lot of these players, I can say the same thing. They are not good enough to be trying this shit. Like, Ole released an article on The Athletic, or did an interview on The Athletic right before that game. Right? And you guys know, for me, it's fuck Ole. Like, it's forever unfinished. Right? But he's talking about a lot of the same things. Like, I offered the captaincy to some of these players. They didn't want to do it. And it's like, okay, we can say that it's not about the current squad. So maybe it's about the current type of players that are available to us. Not just us, I mean in general. But you look at certain teams, again, like you look at Man City, you know that this can never happen. Like, Cancelo didn't come out to see anything in public. Pep benched him, sent him on loan. He came back, trained, sent him on loan again. And Cancelo was actually a player that was playing well. That you could say, this guy, I've seen his best work. Like, they cannot dare get out of line. Why? Because it's
not... Yeah, but I guess that also speaks to what you are talking about, though. Like, because I think ideally, this is what you want, right? Well, I think we're talking about different levels in terms of the way organizations are being run when it comes to Manchester United and all these other teams. And that's why I'm saying, I think what in ideal, well, yes, if... the coaches is in the dressing room, the football director of football will come out and say, yes, this is my coach, but this is United. You know how they work. You know how, like, the Glazers work. So that's my point. Like, I think what you're expecting might not be the result you get if it says this is the locker room, is my point.
I guess we'll see. But
so that's all I'm just saying. Like, I get, I'm with you there, but I'm just saying, if you look at the track record, it's easier to say one player, Sancho, is not bigger than the manager. But when you lose the entire dressing room, I can see the pressure getting to what's his name again? Is it John Mota?
Richard Arnold,
sorry. I can see that getting to him. I can see the Glazers calling him up and say, yo, we need to make a change. And that's why I don't want to happen again.
For me, I don't think it's rocket science for a coach to come in and tell his players, this is what I expect of you, this is how I want you to play. Again, that's why, like, when we look at a team like Brighton, it's so jarring. It's because we know that the quality that they have on paper is not as good as what we have. But they are all bought in. The execution is there. They lose a player, it doesn't matter. And at some point, we have to stop looking at just each individual coach and saying, oh, you can't get your message across. And we have to start looking at the culture, either of the players as a whole, like just players in general, or of the culture within this team. There's something there. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't remember a lot of big teams that the manager comes out and says there wasn't enough determination in this team today. And I feel like we've heard that so many times. Like, determination. Yeah, as United. Yeah, and United, like, even if you don't feel like United is what it once was, this is still the highest level in the world. Like, I don't know, like, should we be explaining to you that the effort should be there? You know, and I don't know. Because for me, it's not formation. Like, we can talk about formation. Yes, like, Casemiro has been bad. Eriksen has been bad. You know, like, they haven't played well. But there's something else there where it just looks like not everybody is playing to the level that they can. And it's not just because of the formation. And that's why I want to get away from talking about formation or, you know, like, we lost to Brighton.
We lost to Arsenal. We lost to Bayern Munich. Some of these teams, they are good teams. So, yes, you can lose. And we have lost games where all of us look at the game and are like, you know what? These guys actually tried. Like the Arsenal game, it wasn't like a terrible performance. Nobody was saying, oh, this is trash. But the Brighton game is just like you get dismantled. And then for me, this Bayern Munich game, even though it's 4-3, was worse than the Brighton game. Like, it was the worst performance than the Brighton game. And it's just like, bro, you guys are in Munich. You don't understand what you're supposed to do. So I guess maybe that's where I look at it. But I don't know, man.
I guess we're all trying to figure out what's wrong with United. And I'm just afraid that the person who's going to take it down for is ETH, because we've seen this happen with this team before. But anyways, I don't know if you guys want to talk about anything else about the Bayern game. I'm kind of over that game already because... So let's move on to our game. Away to Burnley on Saturday or Sunday. So we're playing Burnley on Saturday. I can't believe I'm saying this. Six games into the season, I'm already saying this is a must win for us. This is a get right game. But we are going to be playing to Burnley. Burnley, before they got promoted to the Premier League, were playing some fantastic football in the Champions League. In the lower levels, which hasn't really translated to the Premier League because. It's the same way that I talk about when we talk about NFL and those college quarterbacks, like the speed in the Premier League is just different, right, compared to the lower levels. So I don't think we should have any issues with this team. But United is also the kind of team that makes all teams look like they're Barcelona. So, you know, like to me, I feel like we shouldn't. What Burnley wants to do is do like, you know, their own, you know, low quality version of tiki taka, right? Play the ball around and play around you. But one thing
that we don't have problems with Burnley, and you know it.
I'm trying to find,
and you know it.
I know when in CH came, we talked about pressing. I don't think we really, I don't know what they do in training, but our pressing hasn't really been that like impressive. There are clips out there of players just shadowing players instead of actually pressing them, except for Højlund. Højlund is the one guy that I know that likes actually like putting 110% work since he's been in the first team. So I'm hoping that's not the case, but I think you're right, Lanray. We might see them dominate possession against us, which is kind of like crazy to say when you think about it. But Francis, what are your thoughts on the game against Burnley? Oh, by the way, I think we're going to have some players back. I think some of them trained before we went to the Bayern. We traveled away to Bayern. I know Mount trained. I know Maino trained. I think Varane trained too as well.
Amrabat
too. So but hopefully,
I don't think any of them is going to be like I saw enough. Some circulation that they might not be ready for this game. Let's see.
Francis, your thoughts on this game away to Burnley?
But it's just two teams with what almost equal losing records. Maybe Burnley has.
I know, more, eh?
But yeah, I guess it's battle of the losers. We'll see who comes out on top. I don't even know. We're playing away, right?
Our record has been dreadful anyway. So
they play good football. Or I guess decent football. They are able to keep it. I think United has had issues with clubs that have been able to press them, you know, man mark them, or even taking the initiative. So it would probably pose a similar challenge to United. They've not really been scoring as much, so it might be one of those cagey games where one team either nicks it or ends up a draw. I'm curious to see who has come back for United. I don't think Varane is ready to play. I don't know if Mount is ready to play. I don't think Amrabat as well ready to play. But if they do come back, I expect the team to be stronger. We need bodies. We need like good bodies as quick as possible. But yeah, it should be an interesting game. I think as usual, Burnley will try to play out from the back. it all depends on, you know, how compact we are, or if we go down first, how resilient can we be? You know, if our heads go down, can we get back into the game? Our away record has not been the best, but on a positive note, you know, it's Burnley. They've lost all their games. I think they've lost all their games this season. Don't quote me. So this might be, you know, the game that we actually do need to slowly build confidence. And while we wait for, you know, our better players to come in, and hopefully we play well and we can win this. It just sounds weird that, you know, we're not even confident about.
Well, I say it word like hopefully.
Yes, know, just
I guess Burnley. Time. Anyways, El Maestro, your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I don't think it's a win-win for. I think it's a lose-lose for us. Like, if we win, we're expected to win.
That's
if
true.
If we lose, we're expected to lose. You know, I don't know that this is a confidence builder unless maybe we face some type of, you know, like we concede early and then we have to come back and, you know, score and then win, that type of thing. I don't know what to, you know, because the standard that I would hold these players to, it's not Burnley, but the confidence is so low. Confidence within the team, confidence in the team itself is so low that, you know, this is where we're at this point in time in the season. I'm also interested to, like, see some of our players come back. I don't think this is the game where we get people back. You know, again, there's Amrabat, there's Mount, there's Varane, there's, I'm sure I'm missing, like, one or two other people. Like, you know, but there's, I think Mount, those people will... No, I said Mount. But those people, you know, I think those people will make a difference, you know, in this team, once they're back in the team, and maybe they can cover for some of the weaknesses. I feel like eventually we're going to see a midfield of, and I think you guys already talked about this, or maybe it was in the group chat, of like Amrabat and Casemiro. And maybe Mount on the right and Bruno as a 10. So you almost have four midfielders, and maybe that way you can get some more control, you know, of the game that way. But till then, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, I don't even know who he can rotate in for this game on against Burnley. So I expect we'll probably see a very similar lineup to what we saw in Munich. But yeah, for me, this is not the game that is going to move me. And great to tell me, like, if we win, I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, okay. You know, it's like, it's like just...
Omo, Opel, bro, what 13th? Any 3 points
like,
that come now.
This is not a must-win game for me because it's not really about the win, right? Like, we won games that we were not convincing or convinced by. So, yes, we can win a game and that's important. But for me, it has to be like we have to start building towards consistency. Not just for this season, but just in general. Like, that's the goal. It's like you don't... We don't expect to have the first season that we had and then start to struggle in the second season. Like, we didn't just go through everything in the first season.
It's like, you know, it's we're like doing we're it all over again.
We're doing it all over again. And it's just like, then last season was for nothing, you know, because you're supposed to be building towards consistency. So for me, that's where, like I said, it's more like I want to see what these players have. It's not like I need it to be 4-0 or even like, I don't even need it to be like a great, outstanding performance. I just need to see desire. I just need to see fight. I just need to see that you want it, you know, and that, like, if we go down, if we concede or something, like, you are able to still keep your organization and believe in yourselves that you can win, you know. So for me, those are the things that I'm looking at and looking for, because those are the kind of things that really carry across a season. Not just the one-off win here or there. And again, we know our we struggle, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and also it's a quick turnaround because we have a game on Tuesday.
You know who we're playing on Tuesday?
Crystal Palace. Actually, we're playing Crystal Palace back-to-back, so we play them on Tuesday and we play them on Saturday.
The first game is a Carling Cup. Oh,
yeah, it's Carling Cup round.
And then the next one is Premier League.
Yeah, So
that's four games at home. So
I was gonna say that's the way the season has started.
Which also worries me a little bit because, you know, but at this point, maybe we just need to take all the victories we can get, whether they're on the
or not. I think 3 points can do a lot of things from a confidence perspective, belief and all that stuff. And then buying time till we get, you know, better players back. So I would definitely take 3 points over even seeing a better playing style right now, because the further we fall away from where we want to be or hope to be, then the tougher it just gets, right?
We're already 9 points behind number one.
Forget the league. Or you might believe the league if you listen to some people. So it depends on what side of the tape you want to listen to. We have bigger problems right now than the title.
Let's jump right in. I'll start with my lineup. Onana in goal, Dalot, Lindelof, Martinez, Sergio Reguilon, Casemiro, Eriksen. Casemiro, Eriksen, Bruno, Pelestri, Hoyland, and Rashford. That's my starting lineup. Francis?
I know we're missing players, but I miss Fred, man.
Look at what we're talking about, Fred.
I know we're missing players, so like it's not going to be the whole season that we'll miss him. But man, Scott has been very underwhelming, man. I don't want to single him out because he's not the only one, but just I figured that, okay, you are not part of the starting 11. You see that there's competition behind you. When you come in, you are going to show the manager that, like, bro, you need to be playing me in these games. And I just haven't seen that from him, which is, again, when he plays for Scotland, he turns into a fucking Avenger. When he comes to United, he now decides he wants to keep his day job. Sorry, Francis,
your lineup.
Yeah, you know, him in goal, Dalot.
Surely we are not here already.
Oh my goodness, yo! Where Francis turns on you is a rap.
I swear, this nigga turns on you, you are dead.
he has a lot of work to do, man. Like, he has not convinced me in any way. And
can I just,
I don't know,
before, and very, like, I know you're going to your line, but just like a quick question, what aren't you seeing? Like, because I feel like the reaction to this mistake that he made, for me,
it's not the mistake for me though.
So, like, are there chances that you are seeing that you... Because the thing that we don't talk about, I feel like, and this is where... I don't feel like Onana has started off, like, great. Like, I want to put that out there. But against Brighton and against Bayern Munich, he actually made saves. Like, those are two games that, at crucial times, so, like, when it's 3-1 or 3-0, and against Bayern Munich... Yeah, like, when I say crucial, there's a difference between 4-3 and 6-1, right? Like... There's a difference between 3-1 and 5-1 to Brighton. Like, so when I say crucial, I'm saying the game is 3-1. You are now in damage. Like, our team is now really trying to, let's go and score. Let's be a little reckless. And he pulled up at least, I'll say against Bayern, at least like 4-5. I'm not saying there were saves that are like, you don't expect him to make. But there are saves that you are, when the chance falls to that player, you are feeling like, fuck, this is going to be a goal.
Sir, what's the question?
So for me, I'm saying, like, what is your, like, critique about him? Like, what is the thing that you're looking at and you're saying that, this is where I'm very unsure about you, I guess. Or
in making saves.
So, like, you're saying you don't think he's made enough saves?
I don't think the easy saves, there are easier saves to be made, and he just doesn't do it for me just yet. So I don't know if so obviously
this... Let's use the Bayern Munich game as an example then. We conceded 4 goals. Was there any of those goals that you thought he should have saved?
I can't remember the goals.
The first one was a mistake, so he should have saved that.
Okay.
The second one was the Gnabry goal, mm-hmm. where Musiala cuts back for Gnabry. The mm-hmm. third one was a penalty. The fourth one is that young French striker, I forget his name, that they chipped the ball, like not chip, but like passed the ball over the defense, and then he was kind of a little, I don't know.
The second goal, for example, at least just attempt to dive in that direction. He was stood still. I'm not blaming.
I think the second goal was a deflection. Or do I have that?
No, it was not a deflection.
No.
It was not. There was no deflection.
Or was I looking at? There was one that was a deflection.
I don't think there was a deflection.
There was no deflection from any of the goals.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just have it wrong for Onana. Like
I have no issue with Onana, but he has not done anything. He has not wowed me. He has not.
Okay.
Like I think I'm that's not. Fair. Yeah, I'm not in awe of him. I don't hate him. I don't like him. Nothing. I have no feelings towards him. But if he continues in this route, you already know. Anyways, Andre Ngo, Dalot. I fear for Dalot, by the way, because we don't have any backup for him.
If he gets injured.
Now. And he's going to the ground, man.
And he's going to play quite a lot of games. So, you know, it's something that we need to pay attention to. Dalot, Lindelof, Martinez, that pairing, I'd rather just put in 2 Barbie dolls in defense because I don't know what's going on with that pairing. But Reguilon left back, I like Reguilon, man. I like his determination. I like his energy. He can be a little bit overzealous sometimes defensively, but I like what he brings, and if this is what he's going to continue bringing, I'm actually up for changing that loan to his permanent signing because
it's a shame. I don't think we put like an option to buy in there. Which that
no, we didn't.
Now we've advertised him for transfer now. If he continues playing like this, we are not going to get him for cheap at the end of the season.
We might not get him at all.
I mean, that's what I mean. If he's not cheap, we're not getting him now.
I just got that. Anyways, in midfield, Casemiro, Eriksen, Bruno Fernandes, Rashford, Hoyland, and I think Mason Mount will be ready to play.
So I read somewhere that Mount. He might not be. Like, I've seen conflicting reports that he might or he might not be, but I saw something on one of these, like, Twitter accounts saying that he might not be ready for tomorrow. Yeah, Amrabat might not be ready for tomorrow, but let's see.
If that's the case, then probably Pellistri again. But Pellistri, to me, I don't think he's ready to be a starter shot. But anyways, that's my lineup. I don't even know what the lineup is, but
El Maestro.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably similar. Like the only difference is that let me just go through mine. Onana in goal. Onana in goal. I think Dalot, Reguilon, Martinez and Lindelof. I feel a little sorry for our defense, a little, not a lot, because a lot of the goals we've conceded have been conceded by not necessarily the strikers, but like the midfielders. And it seems like our midfield is just not picking up those runs, and the defense then has to overcompensate. I'm not saying that they've played well. Like Martinez has not looked like, you know, my I call him the best defender in the world. He has definitely not looked like that this season. I don't even know what to say Lindelof looks like. This one that's cackling in the back there, you've never mentioned who you
are. Yeah, continue your lineup. Your own is just to tackle. Continue your lineup.
Yeah, stop cackling in the back. Say it to your chest, or don't say it at all.
Yeah, anyway, so you have played for 9 months. You called him best defender in the world.
Okay, so who's your own best defender in the world now?
Guy, please, I'm not arguing with you. Call your
Who is yours? If you're going to make a slight comment, you should at least have somebody in mind now, no? Who is it? That's what I thought. Anywho, in midfield, I'm going to go with Bruno, Scotty, and Vasquez. God. Fuck, man. I'll go with Casemiro. How is Caicedo playing? Has anybody seen him play? He's been quiet. Like, I haven't heard anybody talk about Caicedo this season. And that's a different story.
Well, Chelsea has also not really done anything. That's probably why.
I know, but it's just again like the pressure at United is different, right? Like nobody even gives a fuck if Caicedo is living up to the 100 million. But anyway, and then in attack, I'm going to go Martial, Rashford, and what's his name, Garnacho.
Okay, score line. Again, this is more wishful thinking than what I think is going to happen, but I'm going to go 3-1 to United. Francis?
Draw.
I would go 2-1 to Burnley.
Oh, wow. Surprising.
El Maestro?
It's been a while since I've gotten my drum roll. I feel like that's affected my performance. Can we bring it back? All right,
I'll start it again. El Maestro?
I'm going to go 2-2.
Yo, you made me do drum roll for 2-2. Anyways, there you have it. Thanks for listening to the pod. Give us a follow on socials at What Will Fergie Do on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, rate and review us. You can now do that on Spotify. 5 stars only. Anything less?
Keep it to yourself.
You don't know the vibe.
Peace.